For several years, this master-planned housing community in the Phoenix suburb of Gilbert was left partially unfinished, with numerous lots vacant, victim of the housing market crash. But now the industry here is coming back to light. New home construction is projected to grow 40% this year. In front of one new house, a worker cuts granite for the kitchen counter. Down the block, a crew hammers in the first studs of a housing frame. Home builders have been waiting for a recovery for years. But now that there are signs of it, relief isn't their only emotion.
It makes me very nervous.
Buddy Satterfield is the division president for Shea Homes in Arizona.
Well, we're very challenged from a labor perspective.
Satterfield says there's not enough workers doing tasks like drywall and framing. As a result, he claims delays of up to 25% in how fast his company can build. And a labor shortage means costs go up. He blames the recession and a construction workforce slashed by half after the market for new homes collapsed. On top of that, Arizona passed restrictive immigration laws.
A number of workers left the market. Now, they may be legal, but they may have somebody living in their house that's not. So we have a number of Hispanics that left the area, and they're not returning. And so that's very, very challenging for us.
By some counts, upwards of 90,000 Latino immigrants left Arizona in recent years. Cole Johnson runs a drywall company that operates statewide.
It's very hot work. It's intense. It's heavy. It's just physical manual labor, of which doesn't seem to be very appealing to high school students anymore.
Johnson has a staff of 450, which can triple when times are busy. And since the 1990s, it's a workforce that's overwhelmingly Latino.
For our company, it shifted at what point we started doing mandatory drug testing. And all of our Hispanic labor could pass their drug tests, and our white or Anglo workforce couldn't pass their drug tests.
Lately, Johnson says he's been turning down contracts because he doesn't have the staff. In the meantime, he's been trying to recruit. He says he's even willing to train unskilled workers, and every week he processes 80 applications. New hires go through a drug test, and as required by Arizona law, he checks E-Verify to see if they're in the country legally.
It's a tiny fraction. It's a single-digit percentage of those that actually end up working here that, you know, either pass their E-Verify, pass their drug test, actually show up to work, have a willingness to work, a willingness to show up on time.
Bill Martin says he has a solution. He's with the local carpenters union.
It's very simple. Pay a livable wage and benefits, and the skilled workforce, the worker pool will be there for anybody and everybody.
Martin says the high number of undocumented workers who once worked in Arizona's housing sector meant subcontractors could drive down the wages. During the boom in the mid-2000s, construction wages in Arizona trailed the national average by about 15%, according to federal data.
There is nobody hardly left that is willing to work for the low wages that were once upon a time being paid to these undocumented workers.
That means a real shift for Arizona's economy, says Dennis Hoffman at Arizona State University.
Part of the growth in Arizona has been fueled by the fact that it is a place that's dynamic. It's affordable when it comes to housing construction. The reason this is going to be fascinating going forward is the old way is not anything we can replicate because we're going to enforce these undocumented labor laws.
Hoffman says absent some kind of guest worker program that would bring back immigrant labor, employers will have to raise their wages.
It's going to be tougher to get a U.S. citizen to crawl up on a roof when it's 120. You're just simply going to have to pay more.
And he says that would mean the whole industry, including the buyers, would have to adjust their expectations of what a new home costs. In Phoenix, I'm Jude Joffe Block.